Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Frankie Lemon Brown.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank 401 is a route.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the LP Zone. We're back here on our afternoon midweek show, and glad that you all have joined us. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, and I only say that really to inform those who may be new to the show. But in any case, thanks for being with us here on the Loss Prevention Zone, where everything is all about retail security, loss prevention, fraud investigations, shopping mall, department stores, price clubs, you name it. I know I'm leaving a lot of stores out. There's boutique stores, specialties, sporting goods. There are a lot of places to shop. Let's face it. Take a couple of drives around your town. There's stores on every corner, all sizes, all shapes, selling all sorts of things. And that's what this show is all about. It's all about retail security for the loss prevention agent, the retail investigator, the organized retail crime investigator, boutique or store management personnel who have to handle their own security because they don't have an in-house security team. We also talk a lot about being regional and district LP manager and, well, anything. Anything that really has to do with loss prevention. That's why it's called the LP Zone, Loss Prevention Zone. But we're glad to be here with you on this Wednesday afternoon. And today, in a little while, we're going to talk about collusion, the elements necessary to prove complicity or acting in concert, as some laws call it, within the statute. So we'll be talking about that. We'll talk about the areas in which collusion can happen, five specific areas, and a whole bunch more. We want to thank our sponsor. Check them out if you're in need of insurance of any type, if you're in the security industry or private investigation, or you have your own loss prevention consulting and investigation firm or an alarm company. Go to their website at bsginc.com or give them a call today at area code 877-404-4299. Also, Armor College is a public safety school with several campuses and online programs, almost 200 courses and programs, including a very, let's just say, an excellent and very comprehensive loss prevention, organized retail crime program. Check them out at armorcollege.org. Armor College. You can't talk and drink water at the same time, folks. I try it often, but I wouldn't recommend it. It doesn't work too much. It doesn't work well. All right, armorcollege.org. Lots of great courses and programs there, especially if you're in the retail loss prevention industry yourself and you want to advance your career. Maybe you are an LP agent and you want to become a district or regional LP manager. Definitely check out the courses available, and we'll be happy to consult with you and make sure that this meets your needs. Armour College, online, on campus, on demand, armourcollege.org. We have a lot going on here, as we talked about on Monday night's regular weekly program. A lot happening this time of year. We're very busy. We have a two-day training summits happening across the country. We have the memorial services, about 20 of those, that will be kicked off here within the next couple of weeks, where we memorialize, recognize, and honor the men and women of private security, including loss prevention agents and officers who also get killed in the line of duty. And, you know, we have begun a few years ago memorial rides to extend these memorial services out to the general public as well as to the security professional in their home area so that they can participate and be part of it. And it has become an educational tool for local media, law enforcement, and the general public at large, really, that wouldn't normally hear about security officers being killed in the line of duty. And really, we've had a lot of great response because of it. And so we'll be kicking those off the 1st of September. And there's still time for you, your company, your business, your store, or your regional group to sponsor a local memorial there in your community. I know in the past year, there's been a lot of retail security agents who have been injured, at least two that have been killed, one working for a CVS store and one working for a big box store. So if you'd like to sponsor a memorial service in your area, just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. As I stated on Monday, really, if you need anything at any time, 24 hours a day, helpdesk@privateofficer.com will be the place to go. They don't sleep. They don't sleep. They're up 24/7. We make them work around the clock. Oh, they might take a nap now and then. But, yeah, I know, we're terrible. But we are available 24/7, 365 at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you have, maybe you'd like to sponsor some training specific to the loss prevention industry and you'd like that, you know, for us to have that training summit geared toward the loss prevention industry, we can do that as well. Just let us know at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll be glad to reach out to you and make sure that we can make that happen. We are celebrating our 10-year anniversary with a lot of things happening across the country. We have a lot of free training seminars, as I just said. We also have the memorial services, but we have a lot of stuff going on online as well. We have kicked off the LP Zone once again. And we're bringing some webinars relating to organized retail crime, workplace violence, and loss prevention needs coming up here in the next few months. We do have a brand new TV show coming up, kicking off later this year. And we'll definitely dedicate a segment each show to just retail security. We have a virtual conference, our third annual, coming up. This is going to be held in October, and we will also definitely have a dedicated segment really just for the loss prevention industry, because there's so much happening in the loss prevention industry, and a lot of people don't realize that, but there is. In fact, there's more than 1.4 million shoplifters caught by LP agents and retail security across the country every year. 1.4 million. That's a lot of people that are apprehended, detained, and arrested by private security. So we'll make sure that we have plenty of emphasis on retail security as well. You probably have heard by now that there is some issues going on out in the Midwest in the St. Louis metropolitan area where a black male was shot, supposedly, allegedly, by police while he was unarmed. And I don't want to get into the circumstance or any of that information, but I bring it up again on today's show because there has been a lot of looting and rioting, and unfortunately a lot of retail stores have been hit. We saw a video of a Walmart where looters terrorized the employees and they had to run for cover. Same thing at a Sam's store. We saw a Sam's store where they outnumbered the employees and took thousands and tens of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. We know that a retail security agent for a shoe store tried to apprehend foolishly some looters, and that didn't work out too well, but fortunately he wasn't injured. And we know that some pharmacies and boutique stores and mom and pops have also been robbed, looted, and you know, it's just not a good scene. But as I said on my Monday night program, loss prevention and private security always get to be in the middle of these things. Anytime there's civil unrest, protest, violence of large magnitudes, private security are the ones who guard the buildings, secure the assets, and stand between the violence and protecting life and property. And, you know, here's another fine example of just that. Security is out there risking their life, loss prevention, mall security, and most people don't realize the many private officers who make the difference, stand in the middle between right and wrong, good and bad. And, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to broadcast that information, to get that information out, to make sure that the public is aware that, hey, we are out there. No, it's not the police that's usually on scene first. It's private security, loss prevention agents, mall security, public safety. We're usually there first. We are the ones who put our butt on the line before law enforcement ever shows up. And these are prime examples happening right now, every day, in the greater St. Louis area, as well as across the country. I don't bring this up very often, but, you know, a lot of people negated, failed, or just didn't recognize the more than, you know, several hundred security officers that were killed on 9/11, but there were, but no one really talked much about it until after the fact. There was a little bit of, you know, recognition in the media 6 to 12 months afterwards, but nothing, you know, since then. No memorial put up for them. So private security is standing, bridging the gap. And for those of you risking your life every day, whether you know that you are or not, you know, we have to recognize you and we have to say thank you. Okay, I'm going to get off my high horse. And today we are on the LP zone, the loss prevention zone, where we talk about loss prevention, retail security, boutique security, mall security, shopping center security. You know, I recently read that there is a store in every community, almost on every block of some type, which, you know, if you look around your city, you can see convenience stores, 7-Elevens, pharmacies, you know, CVS, Walmart, big box stores, shopping centers, malls. So I guess that's true. There's obviously a lot of retail out there because people love to shop. And, you know, there's going to be theft. There's going to be incidents. But loss prevention doesn't always just deal with theft, and that's another reason why we do this show, to highlight all the other types of involvement that they do. I mean, security in stores often detain people who are trespassing, who are disorderly, who have weapons, who are committing domestic violence, child abuse, so they get involved in everything. So, you know, and in the upcoming weeks, we'll be talking about that in our training topics. We mentioned on our other programs that we're doing a special on guarding green gold. You won't want to miss that. 23 states allow medical marijuana. 2 states allow personal use. And we're going to be doing a video training as well as a video news segment, guarding green gold. And we'll be releasing that coming up in the next few months, and we'll let you know when that is. You can always email us while we're on the air, or if you're listening on demand tonight, tomorrow, next week, or even next year, because our radio programs are available for listening on iTunes and a number of other digital platforms, as well as from our own site 24/7. But you can email us at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also submit any news happening. You know, if you made a good bust, you got a big, you know, shoplifting caper, you can definitely let us know at the private officer. Email us at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also send us any promotions. Send us what's happening in your neck of the woods. We'd love to know. And definitely love to stay in touch, because we want to know what's happening. We spend a lot of time, money, and energy to monitor the news and to make sure that we broadcast it out. So please, if you want to send us some information, some news from your area, we'd love to have it. You can go to our website at privateofficer.com 24 hours a day, and you can, right there from the front page, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, our own private officer forums, as well as some other social media. Just go to our website, privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking today about collusion, about conspiracy, about acting in concert, and what is necessary to reach that threshold to press charges.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
Say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us here today. We're on the Private Officer News Network. We're today talking about loss prevention. We're talking about retail security. We're talking about everything that has to do with shoplifting, fraud, retail, internal security here on the LP Zone. In a few moments, we'll be talking about collusion, as I said a moment ago. A lot of people don't really even know what that means. They don't know what it takes to be in collusion. Some people have heard the terminology, but they're just not sure. And some folks in loss prevention, the reason why we're even talking about this today is that we've noticed a number of cases in the last few months that have been thrown out of court because they couldn't prove there was a conspiracy. They couldn't prove there was a collusion. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We had an email a moment ago asking more about our training summits. If you'd like to sponsor a training summit, whether it be at a hospital or a retail store or for your district LP team, you can send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com or give us a call at the office at 704-831-8109. I know that a lot of LP agents and mall security do not carry weapons, but if you're interested in being certified in taser or any use of force, handcuffing techniques, we do all of that as well. Just give us a call, 704-831-8109. We have a couple of instructor positions open if you live in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area. You might give us, send us your resume at helpdesk@armorcollege.org. We're looking right now for an EMT instructor. You must be Virginia Department of Health certified. And also we're looking for an SPO, a special police instructor for Washington, D.C. Again, just send us your email. Send us your resume to our email at helpdesk@armorcollege.org. Yes, someone also asked about donation. You can make donations to the Private Officer Memorial. All that you have to do is to go to our website at privateofficer.com. Right there on the front page, you'll see a big memorial, benevolent service. I don't want to say ad, but placard, which will give you a link to be able to make that donation. And we appreciate that question. We're talking today about collusion, about conspiracy, about acting in concert. And we'll be getting to that in a few moments. I also want to mention some recent news, some recent loss prevention news. We don't go over the news as much as we used to because of time constraints. We do have a daily news blog, which you can go to from privateofficer.com. We update the news several times a day. But if you follow us on Twitter at Private Officer, Twitter at Private Officer, you'll get all of our breaking news as it happens, as it gets dispatched out throughout the day, and you won't have to wait. You can also sign up for our daily newsletters, our breaking news alerts, right there from privateofficer.com. I noticed this in the news yesterday. A Seattle security officer at the Seattle Convention Center, where they also have a shopping mall, evidently a man, and this is kind of gross, a man decided to defecate in the store, and the security officer had to take him down and get into a tussle with him to take him into custody, and I'm sure that was a pretty smelly situation. Gosh, I remember those days. I was working at a JCPenney store one time when someone came in and did that in the dressing room. All right, moving right along. a Hartford police officer in Hartford, Connecticut, Officer Louis Feliciano, was arrested a few days ago for shoplifting while he was off duty but working security in his police uniform for a Walmart. Now, just in the last couple of days, there's been some news coming out where they say that he worked as an LP agent, a loss prevention agent, for 10 years. 10 years. And that he knows the ins and outs of the LP community and how it is, how easy it would be to steal. And now they're looking into whether or not his whole 10-year career in loss prevention was about stealing. And it doesn't really say who he worked for specifically. Other than Walmart, he may have worked for other retailers. But there's a possibility now that they're saying that he spent his whole 10 years in loss prevention kind of as a smokescreen so that he would be able to steal and shoplift. And then he became a police officer and worked at the store in uniform as security. And many officers do that, but hopefully many officers don't do what he did, and that's steal the store blind. But now he's under investigation, and we'll be following this as we have for the last 3 or 4 days. We'll follow it to see if it does turn out, you know, that he had a career of shoplifting and stealing while working in the loss prevention industry. 19 people were charged with stealing millions of dollars in the Evansville, Indiana area, according to Evansville, Indiana Police. EPD and Vandenberg County Prosecutor's Office, the Indiana State Police, the Warwick County Sheriff's Office, the FBI, and a number of other agencies worked together, according to the news release, for more than 8 months and busted the 19 people who had stolen from stores and malls throughout the region. Obviously, this was their full-time job, an organized retail crime family. They stole millions, millions, plural, of dollars worth of merchandise. I would read off the list of those arrested, but it's a whole big list. You can go to our website and check it out for yourself. But it looks like they hit a lot of stores in Kentucky, Indiana, and throughout the Midwest. Just ridiculous. Also in Washington State, South Hill Mall security apprehended Nicholas Schreck because he was taking upskirt photos of teenage girls with his cell phone. And during their investigation, along with law enforcement, they discovered more than 100,000 upskirt photos that this man had taken over a period of time, obviously, of young girls, young teenagers in various stores and malls and public areas. Sick, very sick. And because mall security was alert, because they responded professionally, effectively, adequately, they were able to arrest the suspect, and now he's facing dozens and dozens of charges. Also in Monroe, Louisiana, 3 Monroe, Louisiana Sears employees have been arrested for collusion, for conspiracy. They stole thousands of dollars of merchandise from the Sears store. David L. Cahill, 20, Kawan Q. Carter, 18, and Darrell DeMond Johnson, all of Monroe, Louisiana. According to law enforcement, loss prevention agents had them under surveillance for a while. They were stealing flat-screen TVs, 2 sets of washers and dryers. Now, how in the world did they get those out the door? Who knows? And a number of other items over a period of time, but loss prevention had them staked out. And luckily for Sears, LP was on the job. Phoenix, Arizona police busted an organized crime family there as well for stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. According to police, they were stealing from stores and malls within the Valley area. Five family members charged with stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. You can go to our website at privateofficer.com and link over to our news to see more about that. In Maplewood, Missouri, a Sam's Club employee was found guilty of fraud after being arrested. Jacoby Staples, 21, of St. Louis, made fraudulent cashback transactions using customer credit card numbers. We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks, how this is really on the rise. People are, and really with the checks and balances that are in place in most retail locations, I really don't see how they can do it unless they're in collusion with the front-end manager, the head clerk. But they are making cash back transactions using credit card numbers. And we'll talk more about that in an upcoming training in a few weeks. But that's just a little bit of the news in the retail security. And really, with 1.4 million arrests and apprehensions happening every year, I don't know what that breaks down to, probably about 3,000 or 4,000 a day. There's a lot of news, obviously, and a lot of news that we just don't have time to gather or report. But, we try to give the highlights of the loss prevention news. And obviously, if you go to our website, check out our news, you'll see a whole bunch more of it.
Saturday night, you can hit me, that's enough to make me think it's alright. I try to keep it loose, but a lot of things tight. I'm taking all the pressure, so I'll bid you good night. You gotta push it in.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-
27 subject,
hold
the system and the
trusting
here, Austin.
1-834
BFI
33,
please come and
talk to the suspect on the victim. This, West. We're on the LP Zone here, and we're glad that you have joined us today for the LP Zone afternoon show. And today we're talking about collusion. We're talking about a couple of people. It takes at least two people have to be involved in the criminal activity, but it could be as many as dozens. Usually in a collusion or a conspiracy in retail, loss prevention, unless it's organized crime, then it's, it's usually a dozen, half a dozen, or dozens. But normally in a usual shoplifting incident in the store, you're going to have two or three people. Generally, it's going to be people that have come in shopping for the purpose of shoplifting. A lot of retail security management and agents charge people with shoplifting offenses or conspiracy because they were together, but often they can't prove their case when they go to court. And it takes a little bit of doing. You can't just assume because people are together that they knew that, the other person was shoplifting. You have to have more than suspicion. You have to have more than just I saw them together and it looked like they were involved with this. You have to have some evidence. Because in order to prove someone guilty of any charge, whether it be murder or bank robbery or shoplifting or conspiracy, you have to show that they did the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. That is the degree that you have to prove in every case, regardless of the charge, beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they don't cop out, if they don't take a plea, if they don't plead guilty themselves in court, and you are put into a trial situation, you can't just say to the jury, well, folks, I saw them come in together, and they went down the aisle toward automotive, and then one guy stood in the corner while the other guy put stuff down his pants. Well, that may or may not have been collusion. That may or may not have been conspiracy. They may or may not have acted in concert. It takes a whole lot more in a true trial situation to prove guilt or innocence. So what is required? What are the elements to the crime? To what degree do you have to go to prove collusion between the two people or the five people to have a good solid case and to get a guilty plea? What does it take? Well, thank goodness that in this day and age we have cameras, because back in the day when I started in loss prevention and I was a true floor walker, we had no cameras. I couldn't say, officer, check the video. I couldn't take a DVD of the crime in progress to court with me and give it to the district attorney and say, here, look for yourself, because we didn't have such a thing. They had to go based on my statement, based on my testimony. And in order for me to get a guilty plea every time, I had to have a good description of what happened. Not just how did it look to me, but what did they do that would connect them to the crime? What were the elements of their involvement? I had to be a good author in my reports. I had to be able to describe their movements, their eye contacts, their body language, and anything else that I could to use descriptively so that the people who were not there during the crime could put themselves there and understand what happened. But thankfully, today we have cameras. But we don't always have cameras at the right location at the right time. And sometimes there are dead spots within the store. As much as we try to put cameras in every aisle, in every corner, at every door, we don't have the money. We can't. So there are going to be some dead spots. But even with cameras, sometimes the camera cannot pick up the body language. It can't pick up, you know, the eye contact. You might get the back of one of the people involved, but not everybody. And so you don't get the whole details that you need. So as the surveiller, as the investigator, as the person witnessing the crime, you should be taking notes as much as possible, mental or written, so that you meet the level of criminal involvement, so that you can show that they were complicit in the shoplifting, in the theft. Acting in concert is what some states call conspiracy or acting in collusion. There are five areas of collusion, five areas where retail security and loss prevention often will see collusion. And there are six elements to the crime, six elements that will meet the burden of proof for the act of collusion or conspiracy. Like any recipe, I'm not much of a chef these days. I don't have the time. I'm on the road. I'm bouncing between businesses. I'm on the radio. I'm always busy, and unfortunately, the time I used to spend in the kitchen, I now spend trying to make a living, trying to help others, trying to conduct business. So I don't cook as much as I used to, but I still remember that in order for a cake to come out tasting good, in order for it to rise, in order for lasagna to taste like lasagna, you have to stick to the ingredients. You have to include everything in the recipe, because when you start mixing and muxing your own ingredients, oftentimes that's where you throw it off and it doesn't taste quite so good. Sometimes it doesn't taste good at all. But the same thing is true in the language of a law. Every law, misdemeanor or felony, has specific language. And in that language, it outlines exactly what must be met to meet that particular crime in order to charge the person with that particular crime. Regardless if it's trespassing or DUI or murder or shoplifting, you must meet, you must have all the ingredients. They must all come together and follow that recipe for it to work out correctly. And the same thing with the law. You have a number of criteria within the language of the law. And a lot of times, police officers and security personnel don't meet that criteria, but they try to push that law. They try to charge a person, and then they get all bent out of shape and surprised when the district attorney or the commonwealth attorney or the assistant prosecutor turns it back and says, I can't prosecute this. I can't take this charge to court. Nothing in the complaint tells me that they violated this specific law. And so when we're talking about collusion, when we're talking about a crime based on conspiracy, we can't go on, well, this is what I saw, this is what I said, this is what happened. We have to have elements to the crime. So let's talk about the six areas where the average loss prevention agent is going to see collusion or conspiracy when it comes to retail theft. Number one, loss prevention agents typically are going to see some sort of collusion or acting in concert, acting together, in the everyday average shoplifting that happens in their store. Whether it be the mom and the daughter coming in and selecting merchandise, or it might be organized retail criminals that come in and one spots out the merchandise while the other one comes behind them and takes it. That's one area. Employee theft, you might also see collusion there. An employee might give merchandise to another employee in a different department to hide under the end cap or hide under the shelving or take it to the stock room. You might see an employee go through a cashier, and that cashier may undercharge or not charge at all the employee. That would be collusion. They're a conspiracy. They're conspiring. You might have collusion, people bringing in bad checks and going through registers and cashiers accepting the check, knowing that it's no good because it's their friend or relative. Not following proper procedure, not having the check approved. Same thing with credit cards. We talked in the news a moment ago about employees refunding credit card purchases to themselves, and this happens between employees. They take credit card numbers and then do refunds back to them. A number of years ago, I busted 16 employees in a department store who was involved in a regional theft and a scam where they were refunding merchandise. And that was my next area to cover, refunding. Refunders will often act in concert. One might steal it, and a second person might return it. Sometimes multiple people are stealing, and multiple people, other people, are returning the merchandise. We also have collusion in refunding between the shoplifter and the employee. So you have to really pay attention. You know, again, in the old days, we had, I call it ticker tape. We had rolls of tape, paper, in the registers. Nothing was computerized, and so we had to go through detail tapes, they called it, and we had to do our investigation checking the detail tapes to see what purchases were made, what refunds were made, and once a month we try to do that. Of course, by then, the conspiracy or the collusion was long over. These days, you know, in a lot of point-of-sale software, you can, in real time, watch the transaction. You can see what's happening live and in person. And it's a big help in loss prevention. But refunders and employees sometimes are in collusion. Vendors can sometimes be in collusion with employees working in shipping and receiving. Again, it's not quite as bad as it was years ago, thanks to computers. Years ago, everything was paper. Now we've gone to a paperless society. So everything's on the computer. But that doesn't mean that the vendor or the employee can't change numbers and fudge them, because they can, just as simply as they did on the paper, except it's a little bit more trackable. So you have vendors and employees in shipping and receiving and other departments who might be in conspiracy or collusion. They might be acting in concert. The vendor brings in 10 pieces and marks down that he brought in 15, and the receiver checks off and acknowledges the employee could make it look like there was more or there was less. The vendor could bring in 10 pieces and say that there's 15. You know, he could bring in 15 and say that there was 5. Collusion. You have to either prove it through tracking, documentation, or video, or witness, and even a witness can often be hearsay. So, and last but not least, let me say this too. It happens with management. It could be a department manager. It could be softline, hardline. It could be, you know, receiving manager. It could be the assistant manager. It might even be the GM involved. We have had inter-store theft where a manager will take merchandise from one store supposedly to bring it to another store who needed it, but actually wound up in that manager's home or online. And so there are 6 areas of collusion. Collusion between 2 or more persons is called conspiracy or acting in concert. And there's 5 simple elements that can be used to prove it in a court of law. Obviously, you have a shoplifting on the floor and you have lookouts. They know what's going on. They know that their partners are stealing. They know what they came into the store for, but proving it is often going to be a different story. It's going to be a lot harder to do. But with the video today, you can prove that the person is standing at the end cap or standing at the end of the aisle, looking around, watching, you know, there's eye contact between him and the people stealing. You can prove that he's acting as the lookout a lot more today than you could 15 or 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I started. You can also prove collusion if a person selects the merchandise from the rack and then gives it over to a second or third person. Now, that's kind of iffy because they could always say, I selected it and told them to buy it. I selected it and told him to go to the men's room or go to the, you know, changing room and try it on, and he stole it. I didn't tell him to do that. But if you can prove it, if you can show where he took it off the rack, took it off the hanger, took it out of the box, now you have collusion. If the second or third party or multiple persons are recorded or observed ripping off price tags or security tags, obviously, that's collusion. And again, with video these days, it's a lot easier to prove than it was 30-plus years ago. Back in the early 70s, it was all what I said. It was all in my report. And they had to take it or leave it. And luckily, you know, I won 99% of the time. There were a few cases that the court decided not to prosecute or charges were dismissed. But if the second or third or fourth person takes part in the concealment of the merchandise, you have them together sticking the clothes into an empty box, a bag, a package, a shopping cart, and putting something on top, obviously they're participating in that theft. If the person is in plain view during the concealment or in the dressing room with the person while they're stealing it, if they're standing next to them and you can show that they were there, you might be able to get a charge on that person. And if the person commits a fraud, a deceit, physically aids in the commission of the crime, either hands-on or otherwise, you would get conspiracy or collusion at that point. If you can show the person assisting the actual concealer and then walking out with them, then that's a chargeable offense. If the two are together and a person steals, let's say, a drill and then walks out together, and 10 minutes later the second person brings the drill back, then you have not only collusion, but you have retail fraud at that point. Collusion, conspiracy, acting in concert, all the same. But in order for a charge to stick, you can't just wish that, you know, you have a case. You've got to prove certain elements, certain ingredients to the recipe, certain elements to the crime must be met. And if you do that, then you have a good charge. Then you have a good case. Then I would not be afraid, if I was a district attorney, to take it to trial, because I know I've got what I need for a conviction. Three things that you can do for a sound case in this day and age. One, record everything possible. Two, have a secondary witness to the crime, whether it be another loss prevention agent or a manager. And three, document as much as you can while you go. I've written on my hand, my arms, my clothing many times, so that later on when you have to write it all down into a real report, something that you'll understand and that other people will understand, and it's legible, you have all the facts, the times, locations, what they did, who was involved, what they were wearing, where did they go, who was with them, what items did they have, where did they get them, so on and so forth. Very important. Documentation is the key to successful prosecution, successful litigation, if it went to a civil case. Collusion, conspiracy, acting in concert happens frequently in the retail environment. Sometimes we don't catch it. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we just say, I don't know, forget it. I'll just get the guy, I'll get the main character. I'll get the main actor, the guy who walked out with the merchandise, and I'll let everybody else go. Well, in some cases, you know, you have five or six people that need to be arrested, but you only catch one. Why is it important that you get the other people? Well, number one, you want to trespass them off the property for good so that they don't come back and shoplift. Number two, you don't know if they have other merchandise. you were watching the main character. How do you know that the other people who went around the corner a half a dozen times out of view didn't have other merchandise that they concealed? I don't know how many times I thought, you know, number one shoplifter had all the goods, only to find out the conspirator, the other people that was with them, had taken stuff too. I was busy watching the main character, but there were other players. And luckily, we grabbed everybody, and we recovered all of the merchandise instead of part of it, and we had a solid case. Also, when you only grab the main character and you let other people go, it only gives them an opportunity to come back because they know how soft you are. They know that if there's four of them, you're only going to grab one. So three others are going to be able to escape with merchandise to live another day. So if you can get a good conspiracy case on them, if you can get a good collusion case on them, do it by all means. But make sure you have the documentation. Make sure that you have the evidence, the witnesses, everything that you need to prosecute a solid case. Otherwise, if you bring cases to court where you can't prove that conspiracy, you can't prove that acting in concert, the DA will never take those type of cases from you again. He'll know. It's a losing case. You don't have the goods. You don't have the evidence. So they'll prosecute the main character, the person who concealed, the person who walked out with the merchandise, but not the folks who helped. Acting in concert, conspiracy, collusion. It happens every day. Be sure that you know the elements to the crime. Be sure that you document it, record it, and are able to articulate it if you take it to trial. Thanks for being with us today on this episode of the Loss Prevention Zone. I'm going to be heading out on the road here in the next couple of days, and I'll be out for a good while, so maybe we'll see you on the road. But we'll definitely see you back here on the radio. Until then, God bless. Be safe, and I do mean that. Be safe. Until we see you the next time, right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.